Hi, this is Lead Pastor Dwight Mason, and you're listening to New Point Community Church Podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. This message is a part of our series, High Noon. Everybody faces conflict in life at some time or another. If we don't deal with it in a healthy, appropriate way, inevitably it leads to a showdown. It may or may not happen at high noon, but there will be a showdown. And when that happens, no one wins. I hope today's message will encourage you. Thanks for listening.
Did you hear those words? So easy to cast the first stone. It's harder to search your own soul. Wow. So easy to cast the first stone. It's much, much harder to search your own soul. No one wins when the goal is to settle the score. No one wins when the goal is to settle the score. Well, we're glad that you're here, and we're in a series and we're dealing with conflict. Conflict is inevitable. And most of us hate it. And most of us will do anything to avoid it. And because of that, we don't fully mature. We don't fully grow up. We're not experiencing everything that God has for us. Because here's what we're learning in this series, and it's this. Conflict is our constant opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. It's a constant opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. Now, typically, again, we think of conflict as something to avoid at all cost. Because many of us, if not all of us, we've had bad experience with conflict. We've all dealt with conflict, whether it's growing up in the home or maybe the workplace or maybe a marriage or just friendship of where conflict was really destructive. And it wasn't about development. But we want to see it as an opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. And so it gives you an opportunity to be able to express love the way in which God has expressed it to you and me. Because God is a peacemaker. You know, we learned that last week, that God reconciled us. He initiated it. He pursued us. He came after us. And we are to be like him. And so what we need to understand is that conflict is an opportunity. Now, what is conflict? Okay, it's not a sin. Okay? To have conflict is not a sin. You need to understand that. Okay? What is conflict? Well, I gave you this definition last week. Conflict is created by a gap between what we want and what we are experiencing at any point in time, which basically means our life is full of conflict because there's things that you want that you're not experiencing at any point in time, right? Whether it's your relationship with your spouse, whether it's relationship with your mom or your dad or your boss or a coworker, it's just there. And so you and I need to be able to learn and develop and sharpen skills in this area of conflict. Or we will just drift into pseudo-Christianity. It'll be something that's not really true. And it won't be authentic. It won't be genuine. And so conflict is not a sin, but all sin leads to a conflict. And so if you're going to be able to be the person that God wants you to be, if I'm going to be the person that God wants me to be, I have to be able to learn how to handle conflict. And so today we want to talk about acing conflict. How can you and I ace conflict? Now, God wants you, God wants me to be a blessing to other people. And so here's what I want us to get, because we have to understand this whole thing about conflict. And this is what I believe. And it's this: God doesn't want us to have a confrontational approach. He wants us to have a commitment approach. That when we do deal with conflict, that it's not confrontational. That our approach is commitment. That I'm committed to you. I love you. I care about you. I care about our relationship. And so it's not about me confronting you. It's not about me spewing on you. It's not about me knowing it all or having it all together and me putting you in your place. It's not confrontational. It's a commitment. I remember when we were in a building program, and this was probably almost 15, 20 years ago, the building chairman and I went to breakfast, and we were talking, and I told him, I said, hey, I said, now, you know, as we move along in this stage, I'm going to frustrate you. And he said, oh, I don't think so. And I said, do you have an opinion? He said, yes. I said, well, I got one too. And I said, so we're going to have some conflict. And I said, the reason why we're going to have conflict is because you're going to see things one way, I'm going to see things another way, and guess what? Our team is going to see things another way. And I said, that's how we're going to get the best building that we can possibly get. But I told him, I said, I just want you to know that I'm committed to you. And I said, as long as you don't mess with my wife, we'll be okay. And he started laughing. But what I was saying was this: I wanted our relationship not to be confrontational. I got you. But one of commitment. That, hey, I'm committed to your good, and you're committed to my good. That's how you get the best idea. Listen, if you don't have conflict in your marriage, if you don't have conflict at work, then you have apathy. You have apathy. You're not a peacemaker. You have apathy. You have an attitude of indifference. You don't really care. And so what we need is we need to have commitment to one another to be able to get the best. And so Proverbs gives us direction on this when the writer says this: a self-confident fool has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions and himself. Wow. So what is he saying here? He is saying here that you got a double troubled fool, one who has an open mouth and a closed mind. And that's not good. And this is really the confrontational person who has no delight in understanding where the other person's coming from. Or being able to say, hey, can you help me with why you're thinking that or why you're doing that? But he or she just wants to blurt things out. And it's not healthy. It's not good. Because here's what I know about the conflict that you're experiencing. You don't have all the information. It's arrogant of me and it's arrogant of you to think that you have all the information about the conflict that you're in or that somebody else is in. You just don't. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, we become confrontational. And we just err. He's a jerk. She's a snob. And what happens is you haven't come to a place of where you can understand their perspective, or why they are doing what they're doing, or why they are responding the way that they're responding. And so what happens is this confrontational attitude is, I'm right, you're wrong. I'm the parent, you're the child. I'm the boss, you're the employee. And that's not what God wants. That's basically a fool who doesn't delight in learning from someone else's perspective. And so how do we move ahead and how do we ace conflict? Because, listen, it's there. It's in my life. It's in your life. It's in our world. Well, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and here's what he says. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Basically, what's the calling? We've got a calling to be peacemakers. Okay, peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Okay, big difference. We'll get into that later. Okay, you're not called to be a peacekeeper. You're called to be a peacemaker. And so that's the calling that you and I have. And that is to reconcile ourselves with one another and with God and helping other people be reconciled. And that word reconcile is the meaning of bringing back to harmony, bringing back to the original state of harmony. And so Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And then he begins to let us know how we are to do this, how we can ace this in the area of conflict. Here's what he says. Be completely humble. Wow. What is humility? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. It's putting yourself in the other person's position. It's wanting to gain perspective. It's wanting to gain understanding. And I find it interesting that he says, be completely humble. And he says, and gentle. Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. And so that's our marching orders. In marriage, in parenting, in work, in life. And then he goes on to say this, make every effort. He's basically saying, be diligent, be persistent. Don't give up on this. Don't take your ball and run away. Don't take your blanket and go to a corner. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. Now, why don't we work from another person's perspective? Why are we confrontational? Because we're not humble. Because we're not gentle. Because we're not bearing with one another in love. And so what I'm challenged myself and you as well is let's not be confrontational. Let's be committed to one another, believing that, hey, you know what? You want the best. I want the best. You want the truth. I want the truth. Let's work through this. And this is what God calls us to do. This is the pattern that he wants you and I to be able to live out. And so when you have conflict, when I have conflict, when you have conflict, listen, here's what I know. If you never have conflict in your marriage is full of apathy. It's dead. Okay? It's dead. Because what happens is how you grow and how I grow. Matter of fact, I don't think that you can have intimacy without conflict. Because what happens is, how do you get intimacy with one another? Understanding. You know one another. And once you begin to know one another, you're going to have conflict because you don't understand one another. And so it's being committed to that. I want to get to know you because I don't understand you. So we have conflict. And so conflict is an incredible opportunity for you and I to grow and to serve one another, and ultimately to honor God, and to be a witness to the world. Now, Ken Sade, and I want to encourage you to pick up this book, The Peacemaker. It's incredible, and it's one of the resources that I'm using for this series. He has this image, this chart called The Slippery Slope, okay? The Slippery Slope, and I want to bring this up here, and it's in his book, and I want to walk us through, because what happens is when we have conflict, we have a tendency to go to extremes. Would you agree with me? And it's a slippery slope because our feelings are involved. And our feelings can hijack us in a time of conflict. But here's what he says, okay? The middle ground is where God wants you and I. And that is the peacemaking response. And he would say one is just to overlook it. You know, there's going to be things in your life and there's going to be things in my life that, you know what, we should just overlook. Unless it's sin. Unless it's really damaging the relationship. Unless it's dishonoring to God. We should just overlook. Psalms 119, 165 says, they that love your law, nothing shall offend them. Because they have that ability. But then he also says reconciliation. That means we come and we say, hey, you know what? I think that there's something between us. Help me understand. Because I feel like we're drifting apart. And I want to be able to understand your perspective. Or negotiate. That you come back and you sit down and you negotiate with one another and you say, hey, you know what? I realize that we have this disagreement. I realize that we have this conflict. But let's sit down and let's see if we can work through it, because I want you to know that I'm committed to you and I want the best for you. And then he would say mediation. That's when we can't work it out between us. And it's Matthew 18, and you bring somebody along and you say, hey, you know what? Pete and I really want to work this out, but I don't understand where he's coming from, and he doesn't understand where I'm coming from, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Or arbitration of where what happens is you just say, hey, you know what? We're to a point of where we need somebody else to make the decision here because we can't come to agreements. And then you know what? We need accountability. See, listen to me, okay? You ready for this? That's the church. And we're dysfunctional. Because when we get there, you know what we start saying? Mind your own business. Stay out of my life. And that's why we don't have any power. That's why we haven't differentiated ourselves. Because what happens many times is that we don't handle conflict any different than those who don't even know God. And so it's that middle ground. And then what happens is, if we're not careful, we can fall to the right or to the left. And let me give you the left. The left is escape responses. And that's where what happens is, and no doubt we've all been guilty of this. We have conflict, and you know what we do? We escape. We flight. Okay? We just flight. And one would be denial. We just deny. Are you mad? Have I done something to hurt you? Nope. And denial is not a river in Egypt, okay? You need to know that, okay? It's something that we practice. It's something that's a part of our life. And so what happens is we end up denying that there's even an issue, that there's even a problem. And it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do your marriage any good. It doesn't do your family any good. It may work for a while, but the fact of the matter is you deny. And here's what can happen, fellas, okay? Let me talk to us fellas, okay? You can deny by being distractive. And so the fact of the matter is, instead of dealing with the conflict at home, you're never at home. And that's your way of living in denial. And it's not good, and it's escape route. And then we have flight. And flight is where you just leave. You just leave. And by the way, I want you to know, we'll get to this, okay? Keep coming back. There are times that you may need to leave a relationship because of abuse. But what happens is you need somebody to give you good counsel on that. And don't leave because of feelings, but leave because it's the right thing. But an escape thing is, I'm going to leave the situation. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to have a conversation. I'm going to stick my head in the sand. I'm just not going to go there. And so there's the flight. And then there's the suicide. There's the suicide. Do you know that suicide is in the top 5 causes for death? And what happens is, and what they're learning is, this is one of the ways in which people avoid conflict, is that they take their own life. They basically say, hey, you know what? I've been faking it and faking it and faking it, and I've been in isolation and I've been in denial. and I'm not facing the conflicts in my life, the disappointments in my life. And so what happens is they end up taking their life. They end up taking their life. And so we don't want to live there, but we don't want to live on the attack response either. So what happens is we either escape or we attack. And the attack is litigation. And that's where we take somebody to court, okay? And we just say, you know what? I am coming after you. And what is litigation? In many instances, it's assisted denial. It's when you pay somebody not to make you face your attitude, your biases, or your actions, which are unhealthy. And so what happens is I'm going to litigate against you. I'm just going to come against you. Now, listen, I realize that there's times that you need to take somebody to court. That's why God has the government and leaders. But much of it, let me tell you what's happening in our politics right now. They're litigating against one another because they don't want to face up to their own attitudes, their own actions, their own biases. And so what happens is I'm going to come after you. I'm going to attack you. Are you all okay? And see, this is what's happening in America. Or I will assault you. I will assault you. I will verbally assault you. I will knock you down. I will call you out. I will assault you in ways that will just chop you in half. Or murder. Murder. It's in the top five. People will kill people because of conflict. And as I look at America, okay, we're living in that attack response politically. I mean, would you agree with me? I mean, it's just at one another. And how's that working for us? It's not. It affects everybody. And so back to Paul when he says, I urge you to live out your calling. I urge you to be completely humble, gentle, bearing with one another in love. Making every effort, being diligent to keep the peace. How can we do that? Well, let me share some things from Ken here. And I just want to help us in doing this and help you and me so that what happens is this conflict will be an opportunity for us to honor God and to serve others and to grow ourselves. So let me just walk us through some things. Here's the first thing. Ask God and others for help with self-awareness. Ask God and others for help with self-awareness. And we all need to do that. God, help me with where I'm creating or I'm causing conflict. And maybe I don't even know. I may not even know that I'm doing it. And so, God, you need to help me. You need to point out when I'm not sensitive. Or I'm not understanding, or I'm not patient, or I'm not humble. God, I need you to do it. David prayed this prayer. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. We get anxious, don't we? We're in the middle of conflict. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So what happens is we need to ask God and others, hey, would you help me? I just want to give you permission. If you see me at work, or if you see me how I speak to my wife, if you see how I respond to my husband in the small group, you know, don't do it publicly. But would you just come and say, hey, you know what? I think that you might be putting gas on this. I think you might be contributing to this more than what you realize. You see, what's conflict? It's an opportunity to honor God, to serve other people. And so we need to ask God, and we need to invite others to speak the truth to us and to be able to say, hey, I just want you to know that I've observed this in you, and I don't think it's serving you well. I think it's hurting you, and I think it's hurting other people. Can I just let you in on a secret? That's the church. And as I said last week, the church isn't very effective in this area. and we suffer for it. How about this one right here? Address everyone involved. When we have conflict, we need to be able to address everybody that was involved, everybody that was touched by it. You don't have to come before a group of people who don't know anything about it and wasn't involved in it, but we need to be able to address everybody that's involved. Because when you and I haven't fully addressed everybody, okay, that has been affected by it, then what happens is we're not sincere. We're really not wanting to deal with the conflict at hand. And so those who I have wronged, I need to address all of them. And so let me just give you an example. Let's say that we're at the Mason's house. And I did something I shouldn't have done at the supper table. I said something, maybe to Patty, maybe to one of the kids, but all of them were there. Then what happens is I need to come back and address every single one of them and just say, hey, you know, I just want you to know that Dad's response last night at the supper table was inappropriate and it was wrong. And I shouldn't have said that to whoever. And I'm asking him and I'm asking all of you to forgive. Y'all okay on this? See, if you want peace, this is what it takes. It takes work. It takes work. See, Jesus would say it like this. He would say, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. You know what he's saying? Oh, hey, wait. Don't sing. Don't give your talk. See, I've had to do this. Okay, I've had to go to Patty, and I've had to go to our kids at times before I even stand up here before you. Because I can't do this alone. And I've had to go and make things right because I know, you know what, God, you're not gonna show your favor on me. You're not gonna help me, and I desperately need to help you. And so what he says here is he says, it's so important, okay, you go make it right. Because look, your relationship with God is not just vertical. It's horizontal. And if I'm not right horizontally, I'm not right vertically. And so he says, leave your gift. Okay? Then he goes on to say this. He says, first go and be reconciled to them. And then come. Then come and offer your gift to me. Can I just help you with this? This is why for some of you, church is routine. Church is boring. You say, I'm not getting anything out of it. You know why? Because you're not right with people in your life. You okay? Love you. And until you're right with people, you know what? Sitting in a row, listening to songs, singing songs, listening to a talk is never going to resonate with you. And so we have to be able to do this. How about this one? Okay, I think I'm on a roll. Huh? How about this one? Avoid the ifs, the buts, and the maybes. All right? Avoid the ifs and the buts and the maybes. And you may say, what do you mean by that? Don't dance around with what happened. The best way to ruin a confession is to start off like this. Hey, if I did anything to hurt you, please forget. What do you mean if you did anything to hurt me? You did hurt me. If I did anything wrong, please forgive me. That's a politician's response. I'm sorry if I've, the if ruins it all. Or if you come back and you use the but, okay? I wouldn't have done that, but you did X or you did Y. And if you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have never responded this way. I'm sorry that I said that, but you really upset me. I'm sorry I didn't keep my mouth shut, but she really ticked me off. I know I was wrong, but so were you. See what happens. None of those gain any traction. So avoid the ifs, the buts, and the maybes. Here's the fourth one, okay? Admit specifically. Admit specifically. The general statement, "I'm sorry," usually doesn't cut it. It doesn't get much traction either without identifying what you and I have done wrong. You see, if you and I are not willing to be specific about it, it sends the message that really we just want to get on with it. Okay, let me do my penance. Sorry, forgive me. But we're not naming anything specifically. And the more specific that you and I are in this, the more genuine it is received. And the more healing that takes place. And so we need to be able to admit it specifically. And to be able to say, you know what? I am so sorry that I frustrated you. I am so sorry that I dropped the ball. I am so sorry that I hurt you with my words. I am so sorry that I embarrassed you. This, hey, Dad, Mom, this is great with kids. I'm so sorry, son, that I embarrassed you in front of your peers. Would you forgive, Dad? You want to be able to admit specifically. And then number five is acknowledge the hurt. We've got to acknowledge the hurt. Sometimes we don't do this. Sometimes we leave this out. Sometimes facing the hurt can overwhelm the guilty. But until we acknowledge the hurt and show some empathy and some compassion by saying, you know what? My words must have really cut you. And I am so sorry. My actions must have really just angered you. And I am so sorry. You see, what happens is when you and I acknowledge the hurt, then what happens is it brings about a healing. It brings about a sense of genuineness from you and from me. And then we need to accept the consequences. We need to accept the consequences. And this is huge here. Because sometimes what happens is we think that if we acknowledge the hurt, and if we admit it specifically, and if we ask for forgiveness, we can just move on. And sometimes that's not the case. We can use our "I'm sorry" to get out of jail. I'm sorry, what more do you want? But the fact of the matter is, many times we have to accept the consequences. And the consequence may be many different things. It may be that you need to make restitution. You need to come back and replace that which you took. Or you may need to go back to some folks and say, "Hey, you know what? I said some things about Pete or Mary that just aren't true." And this takes, what'd we say? Be completely humble. And so there's times that you have to accept the consequences, and it just falls. And you trust God and say, "God, you know what? I'm doing what you're wanting me to do. And I realize that there's consequences to this." And then number seven is to alter your behavior. To alter your behavior. And this is very, very important. And I don't believe that we're really truly sorry. What we would call godly sorrow. What we would call repentance until we do this. And what happens is, if I don't alter my behavior, then really what happens is it lessens my apology. It lessens my genuineness and my honesty. And so what happens is you may need to be able to say to somebody, "Hey, you know what? Can you help me with this? Because I know what I did. I know what I said really hurt you. And I don't want to go there again with you. I feel awful. I feel bad. And so if you can help me to understand how I can begin to make some changes in this, I'm open to it. I want you to speak into my life because I don't want to continue to behave like this. I don't want to continue to be this way." And what happens is you alter your behavior, and then finally you ask for forgiveness. And here's what you do. I've had to do this. Will you forgive me? I need you to forgive me. I'm sorry. I need you to forgive me. And I realize it may take some time. And I'm not asking you to trust me right away. I'm not asking for you to go out for a Coke with me. I understand what I've done has hurt you. I understand what I've done has injured you. Fellas, listen to me, okay? Because I hear this. You know, maybe a person has stepped out on their spouse. Let's say a man has stepped out on their wife. And they're trying to process that. And he says, will you forgive me? And she says, yes. And then you know what? He wants right back in the bedroom. Are you kidding me? There's consequences. She may have the desire to forgive you, but she has a process that she has to work through. And it doesn't mean that she's unwilling to forgive you. What has happened has wrecked her world, has done unbelievable damage. And so we have to ask for forgiveness, but we have to understand that there's consequences as well. And some of that might mean that, you know what, I need to rebuild my trust with my son, or I need to rebuild my trust with my daughter, or I need to rebuild my trust with the owner of the company, or whoever. But you ask for forgiveness. And so here's what I want you to know, okay? If you and I are willing to work through this, this is hard, this is tough, but it's worth it. Here's what I want you to remember as we go through this series, and it's this right here. Conflict is our constant opportunity to honor God, to serve others, and to grow ourselves. And if I'm willing to do the tough work, and if you're willing to do the tough work, then you know what? There's a world. There's a world, there's a community that's looking at you and me, and they're asking, so how do you handle conflict? And when they see it done in the right way, then you know what? It speaks to them of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it causes them to be curious and intrigued with what would cause you and I to be able to be willing to be that committed. And so I trust that you'll join us next week as we continue down this path. Would you pray with me? God, today we thank you that you're the greatest peacemaker, that you're not asking us to do anything that you haven't done, and that when we were at odds, when we were at conflict with you, you sought us out. You took the initiative. You did everything that was possible to be able to say, I want a relationship with you. I want to be reconciled to you. I want us to be in right relationship. And now you've called us to imitate you, to follow your pattern, to follow your leadership. And so, God, I pray for myself and I pray for my friends here today that as we begin to grapple and learn more about this, that we would be willing to pay the price so that we can have healthy, strong relationships. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision that you have made or let us know how God is moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcast through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.